Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Live, and we have the studio cam on, so if you want to come over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com, you can join the conversation, call in, whatever you'd like to do this first hour. And today is the 4th of July. Yes, the America's Independence Day. And the day, supposedly, that of America's independence. And we have that independence outlined in the Declaration of Independence, that great document. One of the founding documents of this country. And I do like that document quite a bit. What I wanted to talk about today, and maybe we could have a conversation about this, is America's place in prophecy. You know, I don't believe that many in the evangelical and American church know that America has a prominent place in prophecy. I don't believe that they teach too much on prophecy in the churches anymore. I mean, I've been to a number of churches in my area here, and I have not heard anything on prophecy, except for one. They have this guy come in once a year, and he does a little prophecy conference. Of course, he is a dispensationalist, so you're going to get dispensational prophecy from him. But that's about it as far as the prophecy movement. It's probably a good picture of how the church is treating prophecy all across the country, is they're pretty much just ignoring it. Even though there's a whole lot going on. I've spent the last 13 years now, since about 2005, intensely studying prophecy. I had intensely studied the Bible before that. So it gives you a good circumspect view of prophecy if you know the Bible quite well. So I said America has a place in prophecy. It has a prominent place in prophecy, although America is not explicitly named in prophecy like many other countries are. I mean, we have Assyria, we have Egypt, then we have Babylon, and after Babylon, the Medo-Persians, and then Greece, and then Rome, and those are the six named of the seven heads on the beast. The beast with seven heads and ten horns. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, let me mark this here and go to this here. Revelation chapter 13, and I could show you what I'm looking at here in case you don't have your Bible handy. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, actually, the chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the life of this beast that rises up out of the sea. Okay? From its and all of its associations, basically. But it has seven heads. Now, it only says something about one of the heads here. And if we scroll down, to verse 3 here, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." So one of the heads was wounded. That's about all the information we get about the heads explicitly in here, except there is another beast mentioned that rises up. And let's see, what verse is that at? "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." That's verse 11. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So we have what I call the two-horned earth beast that rises up later on. And this beast doesn't conquer the beast before it. It's different than all of the beasts that come before it in so many ways. each beast, you start with Egypt, okay, which held Israel captive, the first named empire of the seven heads, I believe. Because this beast that we're looking at the first beast here of Revelation chapter 13, with its seven heads. Now, what do these seven heads represent? Well, they represent all of the world dominating powers from the time that Israel was a nation until the consummation. There are seven heads. And this final beast comes to dominate all of them. That's why it has the seven heads. That doesn't have them all the time or from the beginning. It has six of them from the beginning. But there's a riddle in chapter 17. And maybe we should switch over to chapter 17 right now. And this riddle is about, oh, here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Okay. So here are the seven heads. Again, mention of this first beast of Revelation chapter 13. So we can get a better idea of who we're talking about and who these heads represent. Continuing on here, Revelation 17:10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Well, what are these kings about? What do these kings mean? Well, the answer is in the text itself, if we continue reading. Verse 17:11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is at the eighth, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth to perdition. Okay? So there's an eighth, but it's one of the seven. So really, there are only seven. But we see this eighth one is enumerated because it's one of the seven, but it can't be the seventh. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an eighth. You can't go call the same one seven and eight. So it has to be one of the ones prior to the seven. Is that logical? Yeah. That seems pretty logical. And these kings, these seven kings are recognized as beasts. That's why when we go back to the seven-headed beast with the ten horns, we know what these seven hills represent. Now, there's a double meaning here, too. If we go back to verse 9 here, where it says, and here is mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, mountain is a high place. You go, say, look at the capital of America, and what do they call it? They call it Capitol Hill. A hill is a mountain, although in our minds a mountain is a big thing and a hill is a smaller mountain. But it's basically, it could say, seven hills on which the woman sitteth. And that's Rome, because Rome is the seven-hilled city. So really there's kind of a double meaning here to Revelation 17:9, but because of verse 10 and because of Revelation 13 verse 1, the seven headed beast with the ten horns, which in verse 3, or is it verse 3 of chapter 13, we learn that one of its heads was wounded as it were to death. Now that wounding would be a political wounding. Okay? That's what the wounding would be. It would be a political wounding. But we know it's not dead. Because in the interim, another beast rises up, the seventh one, which is different from all the other ones. It doesn't conquer the one before it, because the one before it was wounded. And it is described as is, was, but is not, yet is. It kind of like, you wouldn't know that it still existed. And the seventh beast head rises up in the interim, and then later on, if you read through chapter 13, this addition, which has to be the two-horned earth beast, it has to be the seventh. It's the only additional beast that's mentioned in the scripture, so we know where to plug it in there in this Revelation 17 riddle. There are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. And we know the one is was Rome when John wrote this. That's the time identification that he gives us. It's the one that is current with him. And one is, and the other is not yet come. So there was another beast that was going to rise up, this seventh, And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Okay? And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. That's the one that received the wound, is going to reassert itself at the end. And then it's going to go to perdition. Yeah. So we know that it exists, and it becomes dominant before Christ returns and destroys it. Okay? So it's pretty simple. So where does America fit in? Well, we're talking about world ruling empires, empires that rule the world that are prominent, but we're talking about one that did not conquer the seventh, did not conquer the ones before it, because it puts it in a position to come alongside the eighth one, which is reasserts itself, and it's one of the prior seven, or actually prior six, it would be number six, which is the Roman beast. And this Roman beast is the old world Roman Empire, basically, under the Vatican. Yeah, hate to say it, and for all of you people that believe that the Antichrist is going to be some guy that made up by the Jesuit Ribera, which they've written novels about now, and a lot of fiction, and they've even twisted scripture to develop a whole new scenario so that you won't recognize who the true Antichrist is, because he's actually going to be someone that comes in the future. But anyway, getting back to the 4th of July in America's prominent place in world history and in Bible history and in prophecy is right here in Revelation chapter 17. It is the other is not yet come. Yeah. There are seven kings, five are fallen. Okay, five are fallen. That would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and of course Rome was number six. The seventh had not yet come when John wrote these words, and the Rome was in control of the world. Okay, so America had not risen up yet. So there's America's prominent place. And you can find America's relationship with the first beast, that is the old world Roman Empire, the ten kingdom, seven-headed, ten-horned beasts of the old world. Okay? And you know, a lot of people hear the term old world. Everyone knows what I mean. It's the old world Roman Empire. When I say that was the old world order, okay? So what's the new world order? The new world order really began about, World War I, and definitely asserted itself after World War II with the establishment of the United Nations in San Francisco by the United States of America. And America became the police power of the world, exercising all the power of the old world Roman Empire before it. This, as it says in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. So, I don't know what many people think about that. If you've been listening to this broadcast for long, you probably know all these things. If we have any new listeners out there, which is unusual, we usually don't have very many new listeners. Let's say hi to Chicago. We have someone from Chicago come into the room. And thank you for the sound check there, WW. Appreciate that. And I guess everybody's sleeping in today. It's a holiday. Everybody's getting their barbecues stoked up, ready to, barbecue hot dogs and light off dumbed down fireworks. Remember when they had real fireworks when I was young? These new ones they got they're all made for children, really, I guess, with under adult supervision, but yeah. Not what it used to be. But is that what the 4th of July is all about for you? And what about America? And what does it mean if America is, as the Revelation says, this two-horned earth beast what exactly does that tell us about America? Now, I'll tell you, I feel fortunate. I feel fortunate to have been born on the North American continent, in one of the states of the United States of America. I feel very fortunate. I feel like, really, America is the last bastion of freedom left on Earth, such freedoms as we have left. As long as we can assert our Bill of Rights, I think that our freedoms will last. When we can no longer assert our Bill of Rights, which is, as we all know, greatly under attack these days, then our freedoms will begin to wane more and more. And we've lost a lot of freedom so far. We have. There's no doubt about it. And it is because people have acquiesced and given their liberties away and traded them for benefits from the state. Now, I decided long ago that I couldn't participate in socialism. I believe that it is covetousness. And it is a violation of God's law for the government to steal from the people under the color of law and to redistribute the wealth of the people under color of law, because theft is theft. And if the government steals and you participate in that theft, then you are participating in group theft. And that's what socialism is. But socialism is still voluntary in America, though most people have volunteered unwittingly. Yeah. And I have unvolunteered to participate in socialism. I have withdrawn myself from socialist security and decided that under the law, I don't have a social security number, because by the definition, whenever you're dealing with the government at any level, the words you use change their meaning. Because when you're dealing with government, you're dealing with law. Because government is established upon law. And a government without laws is no government at all. Right? You have the kingdom of God. God has his laws. And by those laws, we all deserve death. Unless someone pays our debt for us. And thank God that someone did pay our debt for us. So definitely want to take advantage of that. If you're one of God's elect, then you already have taken advantage of that, or you are being perfected in Christ, and you know that. So anyway, kingdoms have laws, the kingdom of God has laws, and the United States of America has laws, and where was I going with that? Lost my train of thought. And while I've lost my train of thought, while I'm trying to get it back on track here, we have a call-in number if anyone would like to call in. We have a chat room is open for anyone listening live. You can go over there and type things into the chat room. And questions, comments, and good to see you here, Fireman Mike. And I got a new listener from Canada. Oh, he says he's been listening for 6 months, I guess. Well, welcome from Canada. Anyway, where I was going about the whole socialism thing is we have laws, and the law says that there's no law that requires me to. See, the law doesn't say you don't have to do that. But if a law requires you to do something, then you're required to do it. But if there's no law that requires you to do something, then you're not required to do it. But what if, let's say 95% of the people have volunteered to do something that they're not required to do? Oh, it gets a little tricky then, doesn't it? Because now all of a sudden, it's like everyone thinks it's the law because everyone's doing it. And if you don't do it, then they think there's something wrong with you. But the fact is this, if America is the land of the free, and there's no law that requires me to do something, then I'm at liberty to not participate in something that I think is an abomination, abhorrent to God's law. And most people, you know, that signed up for socialist security did not know that they were signing a socialist contract, a contract of covetousness. And that wasn't their intent when they did it. I think they got tricked, myself. And will the system fail? I don't know. No, probably not very soon. They just keep printing more money and devaluing the money. And see, we know it's Satan's monetary system because it's based upon two things which God's word explicitly says are an abomination. One, God says he hates usury. So if you have a monetary system where the only way to get new money is to borrow it, yeah, that's called usury, and to pay usury on it, so by usury and debt, all new money is created. Well, there's something wrong with that. See, that's not, God says the gold and the silver are mine. It's because they are his. He created gold and silver. He created all substance. I mean, he created food and rice and beans and dirt. And, you know, if it's made out of dirt, he created it. And it belongs to him. It's substance. So real money, God's money, is substance. But if you have a fiat usury money that is continually shrinking in value, and that's why I'm just, it's astounding to me. I mean, just 14 years ago, I built a house with my own hands, and it cost me $42,000 to build a house. Nice little three-bedroom, 1,400-square-foot house with an air conditioner and, you know, all of the modern amenities at the time. But now if I were to build that house today, it would probably cost me double, because that's the way money is being devalued. So can the usury people, the socialists, can they keep doing what they're doing? You know, as long as you're willing to accept accelerating inflation, they can keep printing more money, robbing everyone continually of the value of their money. Okay? Because what I bought, what if I had $1,000, you know, 100 years ago, about 1918, shortly after the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and I could buy a, and it was worth a, what was it? It was worth a $20 gold piece and 1 ounce of gold. Yeah, that was it, 100 years ago. Now that $20 gold piece, well, they upped it to $50, which wouldn't have been too bad, really. That would have been only the value of the dollar would only slightly more than, I mean, the value of the dollar would have only slightly decreased by 100% or a little more than 100%. Oh, it would have been 50%. Over 100 years, which would not have been bad compared to what it has actually decreased by. And why? Socialism, plain and simple, and a fiat usury monetary system, an abomination. Okay, we're going to be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And happy 4th of July to everyone out there. I hope you all have an enjoyable day and a wonderful time spending with your family and friends. Let's see. We're talking about America today and America's place in prophecy and how the Scripture reveals to us America's place in prophecy. I'm going to put a link to an article from our quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae in the chat room here. And, the rise of the two-horned earth beast. Okay. And, well, read it and you know, take some time, later on, not during the show exactly. And, let me know what you think. And then you have a link to our quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae, and you can peruse that, four. I'm working on volume four. Volume three, I just published, a few weeks ago. And so, nice hardback edition. Also, paperback's available. You can save yourself $10 by buying paperback. But, anyway, you get a preview of what's in it there at the website there. Maybe a little bit more editing done in the actual paper, actual publication than is on the website. because go over it one more time, perusing it, looking for things. But anyway, basically that's what the text is going to be, is what you see on that website there, horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com. And then you go to volume 3, and there's, I think it's chapter 10 or something like that, The Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. Is that chapter 10? Let's see. Oh, yeah, it would be chapter 9 of part 5. And that would be it. There's parts in this, too. So part 5, chapter 9 is Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. I think you'll find that very interesting and help you to identify what a beast is, why America qualifies, and only America qualifies to fill that slot. Because right now America is the world dominating, is the dominating power in the world. But I believe under the control of the Vatican through Washington, D.C. And I've got articles about that too on my website. And you can read some things about that in my latest book that I published last January, which is When the Third Temple is Built. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Another great resource for you is F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. Definitely want to look that up. There's a link to it if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. And yes, crosstheborder.org. And let me go there, and that way I can tell you how to get to it. Oh, I think it's on the Bible study page. So I click on the Bible study tab there, and then you scroll down, you'll see Prophecy Classics, and there's right at the bottom is a link to Rulers of Evil. Now, I'm pretty much with F. Tupper Saucy on everything there. I think he goes off the deep end in the last chapter there about the Cain. He has a Cain thesis there, a thesis on Cain. There's some practical information there, some things to be learned there. Like I said, I think he goes a little off the deep end at the very end of the book. But for the most part, he's right on, because he writes about the beginning of America, and he exposes things that have been overlooked. Yeah. And so anyway, that's there for you, Rulers of Evil. Also, if you go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage, you'll see a link there to Tom Fress's expose of that book. He goes through the entire book, so if you just want to listen and to listen to a good exposition of that book, Tom Fress will take you through it, and always good listening there with Tom Fress. So plenty of resources here between my website, crosstheborder.org, which really links to nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. But anyway, click on the Bible study page, and you'll see at the very end Prophecy Classics. I also have links there to the original Horae Apocalypticae if you want to do a comparative study, but you'd be much better off getting the copy of the quincentennial edition, which is updated. And really, volume 1 and 2 of the Horae Apocalypticae, nothing needed to be changed except some of the text, typos and some of the language, sentence structure was needed to be worked on a little bit. But other than that, right on everything. Yeah. But that's the nature of the historicist method of interpretation, because the historicist method of interpretation, which is what I employ, says that once a prophecy has been fulfilled, then we can see it clearly, and then we can see where we are in the prophetic timeline. Because when God gave prophecy, he gave history in advance. Yeah, he told us the future, which is history in advance, and we can see as time advances, we advance in prophecy, and when it's fulfilled, then we can see it clearly when it's fulfilled. Until it's fulfilled, we have an idea, we have some concrete ideas about what the future entails, but the details sometimes are left out. The names of the characters are left out, like who is that seventh beast? It's the only beast that is unnamed in the scripture itself. And why would it be unnamed? Well, because it was written 2,000 years ago, and if God had put the name in there, then there, how many people would have tried to fulfill it just to fulfill prophecy? But it fulfilled perfectly by itself in time. And that's the nature of prophecy, because our Heavenly Father sees the beginning from the end. He's already seen it all. It's already happened for Him. There's nothing new for Him. He beholds the whole creation from the beginning to the end, from time immemorial, from the creation to the consummation. He's already seen it all. There's nothing new for Him. He already knows whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son, because He's already seen it all. Yeah. And you can count on that. If you don't know about the gospel and you don't believe that you're one of the saved and you would like to take advantage of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made on the cross to pay your sins, then, you know, just pray and ask Him to reveal Himself to you, to be your Father and to adopt you into His family. I mean, just so you could simply pray, Father, I want to be one of the elect. I think that's pretty much a prayer that only the elect could pray. I want to be one of those that will see the resurrection. I mean, that is our great hope. That is the gospel prize, is the resurrection. Don't settle for any made-up rapture stuff. You know, God did not write prophecy as a multiple choice like the raptures are. Oh, which one is it? Oh, gee, you get to choose. Do you want pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, or post-tribulation rapture? You know, God did not write a multiple choice prophecy. It's going to happen the way He said it would happen, just because we can't see it clearly until it does happen. And most things, many things have already happened that they don't even accept as happening because they simply don't know history. If they could match up the history with the prophecy, people would see clearly what has happened. And that's why resources like the link I put in the chat room there for you are so important, the Horae Apocalypticae. That way you can see the history is fulfilled, and the prophecy was fulfilled in history. Don't take my word for it. You know, read it for yourself. There it is. And enjoy it. Creation moments. They've been on for a long time, WW. Yeah, they're not a new sponsor. They're not giving us any money. We pay those for free. We play those for free. We pay those for free. Yeah. Take that any way you want. Just something to put in the break there. Let's see, what else we got? Okay, well, anyway, let's go back to America. And since I don't expect to be raptured out ever, I do believe in the resurrection. And that's why it's so important for futurists who are under the rapture spell, to read this book and read about what is really going to happen when the third temple is built. Because that's when you're supposed to be raptured. And see, if I'm wrong and you're raptured, it won't even matter. But what if I'm right and you're not raptured when they start to build this temple? And then you're going to be interested in what's in this book. So you might as well read ahead. Yeah, read ahead a little bit and get this book. You get it for free. Yeah, just go to my website and there's a free ebook tab there. Just follow the instructions. Say, I'd like a copy of when the third temple is built. You can also buy the book. It's $10 if you want to buy it. If you email me, I post links to it all over the place. so people could read it, because I didn't write the book, so that I could make money. Because if I did, well, I'd be sorely disappointed. Yeah. People, you know, are not interested. If I wrote something like, as entertaining as the Left Behind series and stuff like that, well, then I could expect to make some money. But boy, when you go against something like that fiction, then people don't like it too much. Yeah, and there's a little bit of fiction in here. Yeah, we do a little speculation on exactly how it's going to play out when the third temple is built. But if you read it, you'll understand it, and you may not like it. Because I'll tell you, I didn't like it at first either. I wanted that rapture bad. And that's the thing about all the people that are waiting for the rapture. They want it today, man. They want to get, they're escapists. Me, not so much. You know, I'd like to just stick around for, you know, until Jesus comes. And if that isn't almost another 40 years from today, I don't think it'll be quite 40 years. I figure about the year 2055 will begin, not be the rapture. I'm not going to tell you what day or hour the rapture is going to happen. Because, one, I don't believe in it. I do believe in the resurrection. And I believe in that upon the return of Christ for his millennial reign. And I believe that will be the seventh millennium from creation, which I have a post in my website called What Year Is It? So if you go to my website, and let's see, you'll see it. No, it's not trending right now. So if you click on the little green, what do you call that? Magnifying glass, the search button there, and you type in what year is it, then it'll pop up and you'll see it. And you can see a timeline in the scripture itself. And I believe we've got it pretty much down. I'm just saying about the year 2055, give or take a year. Because, you know, Roman years don't synchronize with creation years. Okay? Because God's calendar, the one he gave it to, I mean, I don't know what month it was, you know, on the creation, 6 days of creation. I don't know what month that was. Many people would say, well, that would have been the first month. So that would have been spring. Because God's calendar starts in the spring. You know, you have Abib, and in that first month, you have Passover on the 14th day of the month. So that's a different calendar than the Roman calendar. And so the years don't quite jibe. So saying 2055, because that's the year we're using. I'm saying about then. It could be a year before or a year after. Got a whole 3-year window. What difference does it make? That's like, how many years from now? That's like 37, 38 years from now. So, how important is it to be exact? And how important will it be to be exact then? You know, either you're ready or you're not. You're going to wait up till the last day and then say, okay, well, now I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart because I know he's coming on such and such. That's nonsense. Nobody's going to do that. You know, if he isn't in you today, then, yeah, the likelihood of you accepting him is pretty much zero. Yeah. Because most people will not accept Christ ever. Now, God already knows who will and who will not accept him. And all those that will accept him, they are called the elect. And God has preordained things, predestined them and their life in such a way that it conforms them to the image of his only begotten Son. You know, you can read about that for yourself, starting about Romans 8:28. So make sure that you're caught up with that, that you love God and you're called according to his purpose. You know, there's another prayer, you know, pray the scripture. You don't pray some ubiquitous prayer that means nothing to you. You know, read the word of God and pray. When it says, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. You can go pray for God. Say, I want to be one of those that love you. Please teach me to love you, Father. You know, I want to be one of those predestined to be conformed to the image of your only Son. You know, hey, that's a good prayer. That's better than any Romans Road prayer. Yeah, because that would come from the heart and it would come from God's word itself. Okay. Well, let me check the chat room here. See any comments or questions or anything like that going on here. Oh, well, it's not a whole lot of people out of bed yet, I guess, over here on the West Coast. And maybe people still sleeping in past noon. It's almost 1 o'clock on the East Coast there. But anyway, well, I want to thank the few people that did show up today. Next segment, we're going to go into part 9. We're going through this, another great resource that we have. You can also ask for a free PDF of, yeah. So all these we have in PDF. That's the only way you get them published these days, is to publish them in PDF. But, History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. We're going on to part 9 of our expose. And we're in the section now, period 4, from 1100 A.D. to the Reformation. And what makes a resource like this so valuable is that you get that circumspect view. You get to see how people interpreted the, at least people that wrote it down, interpreted the book of Revelation throughout the history of the Revelation era. And the Revelation era, of course, from the time that John wrote the Revelation until the consummation, or at least in this book, up until the 19th century and then beyond. Yeah. But mainly up until the 19th century. And it's quite eye-opening. Yeah, it's quite an eye-opening experience that is. And I have the whole series on my, at least up until part 9, because I'm at about page 106, I think that is. That's what I have up here. Yeah. So, and it's 250 pages, so I've still got, I'm going to be doing part 9. So it's probably going to be about 25 parts, 1 hour parts by the time I get, well, about 40 minutes really. By the time I get done with it, it'll probably be about 25 parts. But you can start now, find my website, just type in the search box there, History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, and you can find part 1, and it should be a playlist. If not, I'll fix it, let me know. But I think there's a playlist there on part 1, even though I'm publishing each part just to let people know they're available for the few, you know, for the 30-odd people that are actually listening to it. Because not very many people, you know, I'll tell you what, yes, it's true, Left Behind and Crashing Planes and all of that calamity that you would imagine upon people that are going to be here when you're gone. Well, what kind of nonsense is this? You know, we're going to imagine a whole bunch of calamity on people that are going to be left behind when we're not here, and call that entertainment, right? Yeah, what kind of entertainment is that? Anyway, there you have it. Stick around for that, and you can get a taste of the history of apocalyptic interpretation and that period that we're going to be covering today, and see what people thought in the past and how prophecy developed into the historicist position. Because the more prophecy fulfilled gets behind you, the more you can see and the more able you are to interpret what lies ahead. And anyway, thought I'd share this with you. This is from my book, When the Third Temple is Built. This is the author's prologue. Most of the evangelical and Christian world today believes that the coming of Christ is imminent, and that they will be raptured away before all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation ensues during the very last 7 or 3.5 years of this era, a period of great tribulation unlike any other in the history of the world. Yeah, they actually believe that. But here's the truth. The truth is that most of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation has already happened in history, because as John wrote, he wrote of the things which he said must which Jesus said, because it was Jesus speaking, which must shortly come to pass. Now that was shortly come to pass in the first century. Okay? 18, 19 centuries had passed. And so as to the commencement of the things written in the book of Revelation, they shortly came to pass as to their commencement. And they have been happening, or the prophecy has been being fulfilled throughout the history in between when it shortly began to come to pass until this day, and it will go on to the consummation. So most of the book of Revelation has already passed. So it's not all of the calamity. See, and I believe that's a fear tactic to get people to believe and want to escape in a rapture. Because if it was true, as I said, that all of the calamity, the entire book of Revelation, was going to happen in 3.5 or 7 years, I'd want a rapture too. I wouldn't want to be here for that. But what if the only thing that's going to happen before Jesus comes in the tribulation of the days preceding his return is the normal tribulation that has been going on for centuries? I mean, because some people lived in peace in history, and some people have lived in the middle of war. Some people have lived in terrible tribulation in times, and some people in relatively peaceful times. And that's pretty much how it's going to happen. It's happening now. There are Christians being killed in Nigeria and other countries, being persecuted terribly in Afghanistan. And so all of the things that have happened in history are happening now. It's not going to all happen in a 3.5 or 7 year period as the end time Antichrist scenario that the Jesuits have sold you relays it to us. Oh, don't believe it for a minute. Get the book when the third temple is built. You'll see. As the world around us shapes to confirm that we are indeed living in the time of the very end, many are beginning to look deeper into the Bible, and more specifically the prophetic passages of Jesus, the epistles, and the Revelation. This has caused many to lay down the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine because of the shaky ground on which it is founded. Now, the shaky ground shows up when you try to find it in the scripture and you're not deceived by the conjecture and the cutting and pasting of different scriptures together to make the Bible say what the rapture people want you to believe. See, because you could do the same with a dictionary. And basically that's what you do with a dictionary. You take the words and you arrange them to say whatever you want them to say. People have simply done the same thing with the Bible. So make sure when you read it for yourself that you're reading what it says and not what someone has conjectured by rearranging scripture and words. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. I want to thank you all for listening. May the Almighty bless you and keep you. See you next time.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.